Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey friends, thanks for watching, thanks for tuning in, and for sharing the podcast again. Today we've got Dr. J.B. Hickson back with us. We're going to be talking about his book, Spirit of the False Prophet, Rise of the Global Technocracy. And we're also going to be talking about a balanced approach to preparing for the future, preparing for the unknown. As Christians, what does that look like? So I want to bring in J.B. Hickson, pastor of Plum Creek Chapel in Sedalia, Colorado, and you can get his books at notbyworks.org. J.B., good to see you again. Welcome back.
Hey, David. How you been, man? This is always a highlight of my month when I get to talk with you.
Oh, come on. Stop. Don't. All right. I really appreciate your writing. I don't know how you do it, especially with this three-volume set, the series, Spirit of the Antichrist and now Spirit of the False Prophet. There's so much in there, JB, but I have to be honest with you. When I got to the chapter, I believe it was, what chapter is this? Chapter 9 on Escaping the Prison Planet. It is potentially overwhelming because you have such wonderful and thorough information on what Christians can prepare for and what we might be able to do and get, you know, purchase things we can have at our home for crises, natural disasters, things like that. But with all that's going on, there's a lot to think about. And I had to step back and go, okay, I ultimately trust the Lord, and that's where we have to fight any fear of the unknown, fear of the future. And I would love, before we get into that chapter and some of the practical steps and practical things that you laid out and listed, could you please speak to that as Christians, how we trust a known God with an unknown future, and he's sovereign over all things. So please share and edify our audience. Please.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it exactly right. Fear is not of the Lord. We're never to be scared, but we are to be prepared. But it's a matter of walking by faith. So above all else, we walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We trust the Lord. We know that whatever happens, even if humanly speaking it seems discouraging, God can bring beautiful things out of broken things, and he is never forsaken the righteous. And over and over again, we see the call in Scripture for believers to trust the Lord. Psalms is a great place to go. So we don't look at our circumstances, which may seem difficult. We look at the Lord, and we know that he's got a plan that he's working out in the big picture. And we also need to be reminded that our life on earth is just a speck on the timeline of eternity. So sometimes we become consumed with and overwhelmed by and anxious by day-to-day affairs. We need to step back and remember God's got this. God's in control. Now, having said that, the point that we make in the book is that faith in God and preparedness are not mutually exclusive. In fact, they're both taught in Scripture. The Christian is commanded, Proverbs 22:3, to, if he sees trouble coming, prepare for it. The wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. So we don't want to presume upon our faith and just say, well, you know, I don't have to do anything. God's gonna take care of it. You know, I don't have to brush my teeth every morning. If God wants me to have a cavity, I'll have a cavity. And I don't have to wear my seatbelt. If God wants me to die, I'm gonna die. I mean, that's sort of a wrong fatalistic attitude. So the Bible teaches both trust in God, prevailing over everything, and yet taking practical steps to do what make wise decisions. And now more than ever, and that's the reason we put that at the end of this last book, believers need to recognize that we are entering uncharted territory on earth, and we need to be prepared to fulfill our duty as believers, which means providing for our family, providing for our spouse, making a difference in this world, sharing the gospel, fighting the fight, if you will, until either the rapture happens or the Lord calls us home.
There are so many things in that, I mean, what you just said, and thank you for just really encouraging people to maintain a proper balance. But this is also an opportunity with what we've seen, especially since 2020 with COVID and the government power grabs and the global, a push for globalism and all that, what we've seen opportunities for people Christians to really go back to their foundation of faith, make sure you're built on the rock and not shifting sand, and just say, all right, this is happening. God's not surprised. And I think the church, JB, I think the church needs to respond in ways that people outside of church walls Monday through Saturday can see that we are not shaken by world events, by demonic agendas, and by all the things that could happen to us here in America. So your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that idea of steadfast faith, even in the midst of preparing for what may come, is very important. We want to do it with a confidence, not nervous, not overwhelmed, and I'll speak to that here in a moment, but just with our heads held high saying, you know what, God's got this, but I'm going to take the practical steps that are necessary, to prepare for whatever may happen, whether that's financially, whether that's in terms of food, protection, shelter, those types of things. And so, the church has really fallen down on the job there, and especially pastors. I mean, it's like, the 1930s all over again. The world is really falling apart, and what better place than the pulpits across America for God's pastors and Bible-believing pastors to be, proclaiming the truth and helping the body of Christ walk through these uncharted territories. And sadly, many pastors are not doing that. They're mocking those who are, which is a sign of the times in and of itself.
Yes, and we've talked about this so much on previous shows with you, how the saints are not being equipped. But this is a little different. This is not just the spiritual battle. Now we're talking about what might happen with our own government, with the power, with electricity, with attacks from within. And we're not even talking, about the globalists. We look at the southern border and look at what the government is allowing to happen. So, JB, I want to jump right ahead to something in the chapter that you have called Three Responses to Major Crises and Building a Preparedness Stockpile. So we're talking about Chapter 9, friends, in JB's book, Spirit of the False Prophet. And if you go to the list of items that you could purchase and you could have at home and you could start gathering, it can be somewhat daunting, but these things need to be talked about and then do what you can afford, do what is in your control. There's no reason to worry or to freak out about any of this, but let's keep a balanced approach. And that's my heart for this, is for JB to communicate this approach and for to help equip you and encourage you. What you need to do, what you need to be watching for, and always with that faith in God. So, JB, the three responses, hunker down, head out, or hole up. Could you take us into detail on those?
Yeah, you bet. So first of all, let me say, we encourage folks to get the book if they can, obviously, but this particular chapter comes from a free NBW preparedness guide that's available free on our website. It's 12 pages. That's incorporated into this chapter. So, at the very least, even if you can't buy the book, pick up that free guide. Just go to notbyworks.org on the online store in the free section. There's a bunch of free stuff. One of those is the NBW preparedness guide. So, there are three primary responses, and we go through in the chapter, the different scenarios to consider what might happen. And, to begin with, as you mentioned, it can be daunting, but don't be overwhelmed. Do what you can. And when it comes to preparedness, one size doesn't fit all. I mean, the person living in a major metropolitan area in a traditional suburb or even downtown is going to have different needs than someone that lives out in the country or in a rural area. Number of kids that you have in your family, your own age, how mobile you are, all of these factors weigh in. So we're trying here, at least for today's show, to try to keep it in terms of the principles or the conceptual idea. So hunker down is the first of three kind of categories to consider or responses to consider. And this is what happens when something happens that basically causes you to stay at home for a while. Maybe there's been a natural disaster. Maybe there's been a terrorist attack. There's some type of crisis where maybe there's power outages. It disrupts the normal routine. Stores and roads might be closed. There could be civil unrest in certain regions that make it dangerous to leave your home. So in this case, it's assumed that there's no imminent threat of danger to your life and your home right where you are. Like, for example, if there was a forest fire, we have to deal with those in Colorado. I mean, you might have to leave, but in this first scenario, we're assuming you can stay put. So you need to ask yourself, if I had to stay at home for 6 months, only maybe stepping outside, you know, a few times a day to get some sun, or just you had to stay on your property for 6 months, could you survive? If you couldn't go to the store, you couldn't go to Walmart, you couldn't get Amazon deliveries, what would you do? So you need to think through food, water source, protection, just in case, you know, some, you know, mean-spirited person comes with bad intentions to your door, and shelter. That means, you know, heat source if you're in a cold climate, air conditioning and fans and stuff if you're in a hot climate. So you need to think through those things, and we give you a list of suggested supplies. Again, don't be overwhelmed. We trust the Lord, but if you do, if you start taking the first steps in your heart's right before the Lord, you know, He'll honor that. So maybe every time you go to the store, pick up an extra thing of peanut butter, or, you know, 5-pound bag of beans or rice, or those types of things. Just start checking stuff off your list. You can't do everything, but you can do something.
Yeah, things that have a long shelf life, so to speak, or that have long expiration. Good points, JB. So that's if you can hunker down, but what about heading out?
Now, heading out, this is where, if, you know, staying put's not safe, for whatever reason, your life or home might be in danger. So you have to have a well-equipped and carefully thought out a bug-out bag, meaning, you know, if you had to leave, could you gather the things that you need that are crucial and be on the road in 30 minutes? So you need to maybe have two sets of supplies, one that's in your main supply area if you had to hunker down, but another one that's already pre-stocked that you could grab on your way out. In a crisis where you have to flee, maybe it's a hurricane or a fire or some other danger, it's not beyond the realm of possibility. We could have some kind of a nuclear attack, and depending on which way the wind is blowing, you might have to deal with the fallout. But whatever the cause, if you're caught off guard, you're not getting out, because you're going to be stuck in traffic. Everybody's going to be panicked. It's the people that are prepared and are ready ahead of time and can get on the road ahead of everybody else that are going to, you know, be well suited. So, you know, think through a rendezvous point. If you've got a big family like we do, we would talk through these plans with our kids. By the way, this whole preparedness guide and this chapter emanated from our own family plans over the last 20 years. So we would have meetings with our kids and talk about this. Hey, if something happens and you get a code word from us on your text, you know where to meet. Just go straight there. Don't come home. We'll meet you there. So we talk about all this in the chapter, but, you know, think through what you need to do if you have to head out.
Man, you've been on top of this for years, JB. You're ahead of the curve. We've got to take a brief break. I also saw earlier this month you did a show with Curtis Chamberlain on fear, food, firearms, and freedom. And yes. I'm sure part of the conversation was what we're talking about. But we'll be right back with JB Hixon on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
JB Hixon is our guest today. First, friends, if you are listening to our show via audio podcast, you can help us out by leaving a 5-star review that helps the show rise in the rankings. You can also, of course, subscribe. And you can go to worldviewmatters.tv and get our podcast recap every week. If you're interested in sponsoring the show, or you know someone who might be, you can send us an email from our website. Go to worldviewmatters.tv and you can talk to our producer about that. So JB Hixon is our guest today. Now we're talking about preparedness and keeping the faith regardless of the level of crisis. Again, on their website, notbyworks.org, there's a free preparedness guide. But JB, now we're on number 3, and that is hole up. Explain to us what that's all about.
Yeah, so we said hunker down. You know, there's something that's going on and you just need to kind of be at home for a while and make sure you got supplies for that. We've got the head out option. But the third option is the most severe and clearly the most unlikely, but it's worth at least thinking through. Because if something, sort of an end of the world as we know it scenario were to happen, there is going to be a group of people that are at ground zero, so to speak. And so if that ends up being you, you want to think about the whole up scenario. And what that means is not only is the area around your home not safe, but you're being pursued in a sense. Maybe there's bad guys out there rounding you up. Maybe, you know, and this has happened. This happened in Nazi Germany. This happened in other places throughout the world. If you had to flee to a secure place and lay low for a while, could you do it? So this is the time now when everything is not falling, you know, apart. We're not in the midst of a crisis. To think through this area, are there remote wooded areas where you can camp? We're not campers, but we've got a nice tent and all the requisite supplies, the little propane things. We've got all of that in our preparedness stash. And if we had to go somewhere where we could be safe for a while until we figured out, you know, the dust settles and what's going on, we could do it. Now we happen to live in Colorado, so we've got unlimited mountains and forests and things around us. But is there private land somewhere? Maybe friends, relatives that have a bug out place that you could go. And of course, in a scenario where you're having to hole up, you're going to want to think through all of the ways, you know, to stay off the grid. So you're going to want to leave your phones behind. You're going to, or put them in a you know, some type of a protective case where they can't be seen or accessed from remotely. But you're going to want to think through all these scenarios. But again, it's about survival, and we've become very accustomed and spoiled in America,
yes,
to not having to deal with these things. But if you look back through 6,000 years of human history, people have often had to live off the land, provide for their family, and this is something that most people are ill-equipped to do. Can you skin a deer? Can you run a trot line? Do you know what flowers and vegetation you can eat and which ones not to eat? Wow. Do you know how to filter water? You know, those types of things. So yeah, the third scenario, clearly the least likely, but you know, it is possible.
So the next section in your book in this chapter, chapter 9, is building a preparedness stockpile. And that's what, I mean, you were so extensive and detailed, it kind of went, oh my goodness, is there anything he did not think of? One thing my wife would object to, and that would be raisins. But other than that, JB, I mean, just basically what we talked about earlier, oats and wheat and peanuts and honey, salt, sugar, dried fruits, jerky, comfort foods. And then you've got, we need big containers. And so very practical. And if we just, like you said, if we just do this every time you're at the grocery store or order something, if you just get something extra, whether that be a bottled water or other products, just go ahead and share whatever you'd like on this.
Yeah, you bet. So water and food are most important. Obviously, if you have the means, the simplest solution is to go online and purchase long-term storable food from one of the reputable companies. Yeah. It usually has a 25 to 30-year shelf life. It's expensive, but it would solve the problem. And you could get, depending on the number of people in your family, enough to last 6 months or a year, and just tuck it away, and you're keep it in a cool, dry place, and you're good. That can check that off your list. Yeah. But for most people, that's, you know, that's a lot of money, and you don't have the means. And so there are much more affordable ways to take care of the food aspect, and that's, you know, looking through our list and picking out some of the things that you can add to your shopping cart, or go to Sam's or Costco. They often have bigger bulk items and a lower cost, you know, per unit. So that's a, you know, that's one option on the food. For the water, there's some great filters out there. We use the Berkey filter, and they have different levels and different kinds. We use it every day routinely to filter our water. You ought not be drinking municipal water. Hopefully everybody knows that. If you are, you're putting all kinds of poisons into your body. And even bottled water is suspect in some cases. So best thing to do is get a Berkey or something like that. But you know, let's say you live somewhere and you're on the city water. How are you going to provide water? Well, as long as the city water is still on, you can filter it and you're good. But what if whatever the crisis is causes the source of the water in the town to not be turned on. Well, then you want to look up and see where's a water source near your house. And that's where having some 5-gallon buckets or even smaller, because the 5-gallon would be about 40 pounds. I'll get there eventually. 40 pounds. And that might be heavy to carry 2 40-pound buckets. But is there a pond? Is there a creek? Is there a lake? You could go out under cover of night, fill those up, bring them back, and that'll get you through the day. The average person needs 1 gallon of water a day to survive. So there's also things like water generators, which a lot of people don't know about, but EcoLaBlue is the brand that we have. They're kind of expensive. We can't use it since we moved to Colorado 8 years ago because it requires a certain level of humidity, and Colorado doesn't have that. But if you live somewhere that's got 40% humidity or greater, these EcoLaBlue water generators are phenomenal. All you need is power. So if you've got a generator, which we do, you can plug it in, and it takes the water right out of the air, filters it through reverse osmosis and other means, and then you've got drinkable water. So that's if you have no water source near you, but you have high humidity, I would look at getting an EcoLaBlue. But there's lots of things to think through, mm-hmm. all the while trusting the Lord, not out of fear, but out of, you know, Lord, you gave me a brain. You gave me a command in Scripture to be prepared. I've got responsibilities, and I don't want to just wave the white flag of surrender. I want to, you know, fight till my dying day and make sure that I can provide for my family.
Yeah, there's so much, and we could do 2 shows on this easily, fighting for your family. When I think about that, I think about a quote that you put in your book from Thomas Jefferson, when tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty. That might be a little out of context in what we're talking about here, but there is the very real possibility that the government would unleash its minions or somehow control the National Guard or others that come after people. There's that possibility. But JB, before we run out of time, and I do want to talk about your epilogue to the book briefly at the end, but what about our churches? What's the role? You said a lot of pastors are not talking about some of these issues, and let's talk about that. I mean, the church might not be a safe place as far as a building to go in some of these emergency situations or crises. What about the church's role in these crises?
Yeah, that's a great question, because having like-minded people to help you in a crisis, it can be crucial. You don't want to isolate yourself unless you have to. And so knowing, you know, who's on your team and who's there with you can be crucial. So at Plum Creek, you know, we've been thinking through this for years, and we've got a list of names of people and certain skill sets that they have: fireman, policeman, EMT, nurse, doctor, engineer, you know, mechanic, those types of things, so that we know, you know, who can provide what services. We've thought through some of this. We have different communication techniques. We purchased, I think, 8 or 12 walkie-talkies that have a 40-mile radius, so that if normal comms go down, we ought to be able to communicate. It can also be a resource for food. You know, if you have a food pantry for the community, which is a great idea, maybe have a food pantry for your church that in the event of a crisis, you can divvy up to people who maybe never got to the idea of, you know, preparing for themselves. So, yeah, I think the church needs to recognize that these types of things could happen, especially, and I know you've talked about this on your show, especially with all the open borders and all these really evil people coming across the border. It's not necessarily just our government that we need to fear, and I have a chapter on that in the book. It could be just regular, bad, depraved people who you know, could be coming, and if so, that's when rebellion becomes duty, as Jefferson said. And you know, when they're telling you you can't do this or you can do that, and it materially affects your ability to live and survive, because remember, Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Then I think that's where you have a duty to you know, to stand up, stand firm, and protect yourself and your family.
Yeah, we've seen just in stores in cities across the country, they're going in and looting, and what do they call it? Smash and grab. I mean, this is when there is law, when there is this, there's not order, but there is law. There's police, and our country is not under attack. And this is happening. And so we wouldn't put it past certain people with that criminal element and that mentality to go from house to house. house and do what they can. But anyway, let's go to the end, JB, where you wrote in the epilogue the importance of the gospel, and let's bring it back to that perspective and just keeping that faith in God during any time where we're preparing, where there may be something coming up, that the unknown. Let's go back to the epilogue, go back to the basics of the gospel.
Yeah, you bet. I know we've only got a couple minutes, so I'll make it quick. But, you know, burying the lead in Bible prophecy, so many of us in the Bible prophecy realm that love to talk about, you know, end times prophecy, we spend hours and hours studying, researching, and giving messages on the timing of the rapture, Gog, Magog, this, that, all these different things. But we often forget what matters most, which is Jesus. First of all, Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior, is the hero of all Bible prophecy. It ends with him coming back triumphant to make all things new. Yeah. So never forget that. But on a more personal level, the most important thing you can do to prepare is to make sure you have a relationship with him by faith. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We need a Savior. The only hope for mankind is to place their faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and rose again for our sins and is offering freely to all the gift of eternal life. So before you run to Sam's or Costco, before you start, you know, buying ammo and long-term storable food, make sure there's been a time in your life when you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ. That's priority number one. Are you born again?
And I love that you practice what you preach, JB, because in every copy of your book that goes out, there's a little good news gospel track. So God, I thank you just for your voice, for your teaching, for the sound doctrine that you share at your church and on these podcasts. I'm just thankful for just our friendship. And I know our audience is really blessed and edified and encouraged by you and your ministry. So notbyworks.org. I didn't get a chance to ask you. Let's look at early March or March or April. What do you have coming up? Where are you speaking in March or April?
Yeah, we are headed out. So we leave, we're airing this or recording this, of course, in advance, but we'll be on the road most of the rest of February and all through March. I'll be in Orlando at the Orlando Prophecy Summit, February 29th through March 3rd. Before that, I'll be at North Star Family Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Then we'll be in Claremont, Florida at Liberty Baptist. I'll be speaking seven times that weekend. And then we're up in Sanford, Florida at Sanford Bible. Folks can find out our schedule at notbyworks.org on the events tab. But if you're in any of those areas, we would love to have you come by and say hello and meet you.
Man, did you say seven times in a weekend?
Yeah, I'm doing seven sessions at Liberty Baptist, two at Orlando, three at Atlanta, and then one in Sanford.
Man, I'm tired just thinking about it, just hearing that. Anyway, well, God keep you safe and bless your travels and enlarge your territory, brother. Thank you for your ministry.
Amen. My pleasure. Always a pleasure, David.
Yeah, always. All right, guys. Thanks again for sharing the podcast, and God bless you. Keep speaking the truth about things that matter.